Jordan wandered around the huge room, looking for somewhere to settle. The room seemed uncomfortably large and echoing, now that he'd been left alone in it. He trailed his fingertips across the furniture, trying to get the feel of the place. Something about the furnishings and fittings just didn't add up. The look of the room was a total mess, a hopeless mixture of styles. It was as though every item had been chosen to impress the viewer with its appearance and value, but without caring about the overall picture they presented. The room was more like a showroom than a place where somebody actually lived. Jordan shrugged. Maybe that was how Victor saw it. Jordan crossed over to the nearest window and pulled back one of the drapes to look out. Night had fallen, and the stars were out. The night looked cold and forbidding, and Jordan shuddered briefly. So far, Castle Midnight was proving as gloomy and uncomfortable as he'd thought it would. He hadn't come across an architect yet who could design a castle that was fit to live in. All in all, Jordan was beginning to feel thoroughly depressed. He hadn't seen a single happy face or cheerful sight since he'd entered this great hulking pile of black stone.
Probably just the bloody castle settling.
He spotted a drinks cabinet set against the opposite wall and moved determinedly toward it. He felt very strongly that after the day he'd had, he was owed a drink or two. Or several. He stared at the row of cut glass decanters before him. They had all been fashioned into the shapes of strange, fantastical creatures, such as unicorns, wyverns, or cockatrices. The shapes of the bottles were grotesque and distorted, and more importantly, there were no labels to describe the contents. Jordan smiled briefly. Of course there weren't any labels. Victor would know what his own decanters held. And the shapes might be a bit queer, but then Victor's taste in furniture wasn't that impressive either. Jordan picked up the nearest decanter and hefted it in his hand. The cut glass was a solid weight and hideously expensive. He let his mind play idly with a few schemes for making off with the decanters as a sort of insurance in case things went wrong later, and then reluctantly discarded the notion. He stood to make 50,000 ducats out of this impersonation, and he wasn't about to risk that for a few cut-glass decanters. The dark purple wine inside smelled strong and acidic, not to mention malevolent.
Plum brandy. Had that once. Hangover lasted 4 days. No thanks. Malt whiskey. Smells like we have a winner. Now, where are the glasses? Who's there?
The room lay open and apparently harmless before him. All the doors were still shut, and no one could have got past the guards outside without his hearing. Jordan remembered some of the things Gawain had told him about ghosts and monsters, the real and the unreal, and a slow chill ran through him. He checked the distance between him and the main door, swallowed hard, and wondered if the guards would hear him if he screamed for help. He did his best to get hold of himself. He angrily reminded himself that so far he hadn't seen anything that looked even remotely threatening, and he'd look like a twit if he summoned the guards and then had to admit it was only his imagination. He realized he was still holding the decanter in his left hand. He looked cautiously around him. The room was very quiet. Jordan moved slowly forward, holding his sword out before him. The nearest door lay to his right. If he remembered Roderick's gesture correctly, that was the bedchamber. What better place for an assassin to be hiding? Jordan padded quietly over to the door and pressed his ear against the wood.
I knew it.
He took a firm hold on the doorknob with his left hand and turned it slowly. The door eased open just an inch. He let go of the doorknob very carefully and wiped his sweaty palm on his clothes. He couldn't see anything on the other side of the door now. He felt a sweat break out, and his legs were just a little shaky. He began to wonder if the assassin was standing on the other side of the door, listening to him, waiting for him to make the wrong move. Jordan decided he wasn't going to think about that. He also decided he'd better do something fast before what little was left of his nerve disappeared completely. A large dog by the bed looked up, startled by Jordan's sudden entrance. It started to back away, then stopped and wagged its tail hopefully. Jordan looked quickly around the room, but there was no one else there.
All this fuss over a pet dog. I am really getting paranoid. Come here, boy.
Come on.
Whoa.
The dog bounded forward to greet him, its tail wagging furiously. Jordan sat on the edge of the bed and petted the dog happily. It pushed against his legs and showed every sign of intending to stay there for some time.